Everything in life has a more sinister and darker side than what is perceived on the surface. Every piece of media you consume has something lurking in the shadows of the person or team who made it. Every movie, every song, every book that you've enjoyed all has a dark past in some form. But out of all of those, it seems video games have the capability to house some of the most dark and twisted parts of the creator's mind. From obvious inclusions like Silent Hill's PT to the most lighthearted games such as Mario, we will pluck every strand of every creepy and twisted mystery these games have to offer. This is The Dark Side of Gaming. September 17th of 2013 saw the release of arguably the most highly anticipated video game in history. 5 years prior, its prequel generated worldwide sales of $310 million and had been called the biggest video game release of all time. Yet, just half of a decade later, the world was faced with yet another record-breaking games release, and this one would prove just how huge video games had become since their inception. Within 24 hours of its release, Grand Theft Auto V had racked up a jaw-dropping $815 million in sales, more than double its prequel. 3 days later, sales of the game had tipped over the billion-dollar mark, making it the single fastest-selling piece of media in human history and breaking 7 Guinness World Records in the process. Rockstar Games certainly had a lot to be proud of. One IGN reviewer called Grand Theft Auto V one of the very best video games ever made, with another labeling it generation-defining. The game's heist missions were likened to blockbuster set pieces and made a video game feel more like a Hollywood movie than ever before. One critic said the character switching feature felt like film editing, with the player serving as the editor, switching rapidly to the most interesting perspective for any moment. Grand Theft Auto V became only the second Western video game to be awarded a perfect score by Japanese game magazine Famitsu, with Japanese critics saying that the game was a remarkable achievement in open-world design and storytelling. And this was what impressed players the most about the game, the fact that developers had created a living, breathing, satirical take on the state of California, one they truly felt immersed in. A player could hire a pedal bike for a relaxing ride along the boardwalk of Venice Beach, or drive out into the country to spend an afternoon hiking up a fictionalized version of Mount Shasta. But the game didn't just present the bright, sunny side of the West Coast. No, GTA V gave players a look into the considerably darker side of the Golden State. And for some, California dreaming became more like a California nightmare. California is famous for many different things, with its Hollywood movies, G-funk hip-hop, Silicon Valley, and first-class burger chains. It's easy to see why California has had a huge influence on the rest of the U.S. as well as the wider world. California also produces a huge amount of the nation's fruit and vegetables, with almost a million people employed in the state's agricultural sector. But another thing that California produces a lot of is serial killers. California was home to Richard the Night Stalker Ramirez, Charles Manson, the Killer Santa Bruce Pardo, the Hillside Strangler, the Freeway Killer, the Zodiac Killer, and many, many more. The Zodiac Killer in particular managed to capture the public's imagination, and the news that one of his last remaining unbroken ciphers had finally been decrypted by the FBI was one of the most clicked news stories of 2020. So, for game developers creating a fictionalized version of California, it would be remiss of them not to include a serial killer or two in such a rich and textured world. Enter Los Santos' very own Infinity Killer. In the northern portion of GTA V's game map lies the town of Sandy Shores. heavily based on the real-world town of Desert Shores, the game's version mirrors the run-down, trailer park, dust-punk chic of its real-life counterpart, and there seems to be a breathtaking number of details worked into the climate and geography. Peruse the town's Chola Springs Avenue for longer than a few minutes, and the player may discover an explorable, burned-out house. The house appears to have been set on fire intentionally, sometime before the events of GTA V, because its interior is severely charred and burned. It also appears to have been abandoned for many years, almost like the local residents are too afraid to even approach the thing. Inside the home's charred shell, the player can find the phrase, "There will be eight," written in black ink, on a smoke-damaged section of wall. Further inside the house, there's another phrase written in black ink just behind a small shelf. The phrase reads, "Eight is just infinity stood up," and below it is two sets of tally marks, which add up to 10. Tied to a rafter that runs through the same roof is a pair of small sneakers. These shoes appear to be too small for a grown man or woman to wear, and are perhaps more suited to that of a small child. This is an important detail to remember for later, so keep it in mind. One might be forgiven for believing that these little details are just the developer's attempt to add depth and mystery to what otherwise might be a tedious, cookie-cutter Los Santos backwater. But a message written on the rear of the structure reveals that there might well be a lot more to this unusual set piece than meets the eye. "Go away, Merle Abrahams. You're a wrongin'," the message reads. Could the burned-out home once have belonged to this Merle Abrahams character? In which case, who the hell was he anyway? It's a question that many players quickly forgot about, while others found that the next clue was closer than they ever could have imagined. On a large rock in Sonora National Park, not too far from Merle's burned-out home, a kind of nursery rhyme is written. It says this: "One is done, two was fun, three tried to run, four called mom, five is not alive, six is nix, seven's in heaven, eight won't wait." The fact that the poem has eight lines and that the numeral eight is used instead of the word is strongly reminiscent of the "eight is just infinity stood up" line that we saw in the charred derelict. And it's safe to assume from both the writing style and the handwriting that both messages were indeed written by the same person. And the message is anything but wholesome. Mentions of "tried to run," "not alive," and "in heaven" lead us to conclude that whoever wrote the poem, they didn't have the best of intentions for their fellow man. In fact, the mention of "four called mom" suggests that one of these poor souls was young enough to beg for their mother. I personally remember the chill I felt when I remembered the pair of children's shoes hanging from the rafters, realizing that this child was less likely to be the homeowner's child and more likely to be a victim of their deranged fantasies. Another message, scrawled on a rock in the nearby desert, reads, "They want me, they can have, but they'll never get my people, even though I shall leave them with sign enough where they put me." And that's when it becomes clear that what you are reading are the cryptic communiques of Los Santos's very own digital serial killer, and he's leaving you clues. It was an inclusion that rocked those who noticed it, further cementing GTA V's Los Santos as one of the most immersive and detailed artificial worlds ever created. Some even derailed their game progress entirely to pursue, arguably, the most detailed and drawn-out Easter egg in video game history. There seems to be no holding of the player's hand, either. Finding Merle's house doesn't trigger a quest chain, nor does it provide the player with any kind of hint as to the location of the next clue. The player is simply left to continue their exploration in the hopes that at some point, they'll run into Merle's next cryptic clue. There's a good chance the player would have given up searching for clues after a certain point and unless they took to the internet in the hopes of answers, their search for Merle Abrahams might as well have taken them back to Sandy Shores. There, in addition to the burned-out home that may have well have belonged to Merle, there is another decrepit structure the player can explore. In this one, there seems to have been a newspaper clipping pinned to one of the supporting walls, and on closer inspection, the player can read the following. Suspected killer Merle Abrahams dies in prison. The article goes on to detail how 57-year-old Merle was the number one suspect in the so-called Infinity Murders, the murder of 8 young men who were apparently out jogging near Mount Chiliad. Although there was no evidence actually linking Merle to the crimes, it's clear that he was obsessed with the number 8, and it seemed only a matter of time before homicide detectives coaxed a confession out of him. However, before his trial was set to commence in 2004, Merle died under mysterious circumstances in the nearby Bolingbroke Penitentiary, meaning the mystery could never truly be solved. Some saw this as an interesting addition to the game's lore, while others saw it as an open invitation, a challenge even, to solve the puzzle of the Infinity Killer once and for all. Given that Merle's last known location was the Bolingbroke Penitentiary, a place just a stone's throw away from Sandy Shores, it might seem intuitive for the player to search there. But getting in and out of such a maximum security facility is far from easy, and many a player confessed to using cheat codes in order to explore the area without being instantly shot to pieces by the legion of correctional officers. Yet, those that endured such a difficult task were richly rewarded for their efforts. During their exploration, another piece of prominent graffiti came into view. It read, "Where water meets land, and fire once spewed forth, there the infinite 8 shall stay until I return." There's no doubt that the inclusion of the numeral 8 is supposed to signify that this is yet another one of Merle's cryptic clues, perhaps created as a way of taunting the federal agents responsible for working his case. But most interestingly, next to the written riddle is a small but detailed drawing, one that appears to be a map of a prominent peninsula. Then, coupled with the knowledge that Mount Chiliad might well be an active volcano, the "fire once spewed forth" comment starts to make a lot of sense. Then, on studying the game's map, we discover that the peninsula in question is no more than a short distance from the mountain itself. Suddenly, what was once a loosely connected series of clues becomes a definite and defined trail. Countless players who had been told, "You're reading into it too much," or "It's not that deep," were vindicated in an instant. The Infinity Killer wasn't just some vapid Easter egg. No, it was an entire narrative, a story within a story. Many players rushed to the peninsula depicted in the crude prison wall drawing, and what they found didn't disappoint them. Sitting on the very tip of a peninsula ringed by 3 smaller islands, players found an abandoned recreational vehicle sitting next to a rundown hut. The area is littered with empty, grease-stained bags from the fictional in-game fast-food restaurant Burger Shot, a scene which is highly reminiscent of Merle's scorched home, which was also strewn with similar-looking bags. Just north of the hut are a few burnt-out fire pits, with the 3 islands lying invitingly offshore. If the player studied the aforementioned prison graffiti in minute detail, they would have noticed the series of little black dots marked in the waters surrounding the peninsula. These aren't there to mark specks of dry land, but rather something entirely more disturbing. If the player dives down to the ocean floor at any of these particular points, they'll find no less than 8 human corpses bound in burial wrappings. It left players with little doubt that the bodies were Merle's missing victims, and thus, with the player able to achieve something that eluded local law enforcement, the mystery of the Infinity Killer had been forever solved. Or had it? It all started with a post on an internet message board which simply read, "Merle Abrahams was innocent." The crux of the poster's argument was that not only did Merle maintain his innocence until the very end, but there was another suspect in the GTA series who matched the profile of the killer far more than Merle ever could. And his name is Eddie Lowe. And that's a name I hope you remember later on. Eddie first appeared during a side mission in GTA 5's predecessor, Grand Theft Auto 4, in which the protagonist has to drive him to some docklands so Eddie can toss a large duffel bag into the Humboldt River. Eddie is later revealed to be a serial killer, and the bag that the player facilitated the disposal of actually contained the severed heads of several of his victims. What's more, at one point in the game, the player is given access to Eddie's police file, a document which states that Eddie had previously lived in San Andreas. Not only that, but Eddie had apparently chosen to start killing in the year 2008. This was the first time the number 8 is encountered in reference to Eddie's murders, but it certainly wouldn't be the last. After completing Grand Theft Auto 4, the player receives an in-game email that has several different links attached to it. One of these is a list of collectible items, geared much more towards so-called completionists than Easter egg hunters. But another links to a series of posts created by Eddie Lowe himself, detailing places that he and his friends often visit, such as bars, strip clubs, and restaurants. Visiting these locations not only reveals several eights that have been surreptitiously scrawled on the walls, but the email itself comes from the username Chiliad8888. It starts becoming chillingly clear that the Infinity murders didn't end with Merle's death back in 2004, and that the real killer did in fact flee to the opposite side of the country, where they resumed their grisly murder spree. In the player's second GTA 4 encounter with Eddie Lowe, the man himself becomes enraged when the protagonist suggests that he's not cool. This sends Eddie into an epileptic rant in which he details some vividly violent imagery, all before mentioning a very familiar name. "And your daughter, your pretty little daughter, Mrs. Abrahams," he seethes. Eddie's ripped out her intestines just to see if he could feel anything. And you know what? He couldn't. He couldn't. It would have to be the coincidence of the century if this Mrs. Abrahams and GTA 5's Merle Abrahams aren't related to one another. But in the events of GTA 4, Merle has long since passed away, having apparently taken the fall for the Infinity murders. But this was merely a consequence of his actions. Or was it by the real killer's design? Did Eddie Lowe keep Merle's daughter hostage to prevent him from revealing the location of the bodies? And was this the same daughter murdered once the plan had come to fruition and Merle was silenced forever? It certainly seems that way, and the theory is only further proven right when we read both Eddie's blog and a news report available via the in-game internet. Liberty City's fictional newspaper, the Liberty Tree, has a website that features an article titled "Serial Killer Strikes Again." It goes on to say that the serial killer, who has been beheading joggers and other people foolish enough to go out on their own at night, has struck again. This time, it's the same old story. Young victim found in a sports bag, no head. Joggers, exactly the same demographic of people who were targeted back in San Andreas. And on top of that, the player gains access to Eddie's in-game blog titled EddieLowFilthSlayer.blogsnobs.org. In it, Eddie mentions how he despises joggers, calling them narcissists, and we learn that Eddie killed 10 of them in Liberty City. Back in San Andreas, below the graffiti in Merle's house that reads 8 is just infinity stood up, there are 10 white tally marks drawn in chalk. These initially confused the game's amateur sleuths who couldn't quite work out how the number 10 factored into the killer's dastardly schemes. Yet, suddenly, learning that Eddie killed 10 joggers in Liberty City made the tally marks make all the sense in the world, and it was clear that Eddie had been traveling back and forth, coast to coast, continually killing, for decades. But more importantly, the discovery meant that Grand Theft Auto's developers had themselves been planning out such a mystery, and probably for a similar timescale as the Infinity Murders had been occurring. It was only there that players truly reached the end of the rabbit hole, as because GTA 4's protagonist kills Eddie Lowe as part of the associated side missions. That surely marked the end of the Infinity Killer and his grisly works. Yet, it seems that although it was the end of the Infinity Killer, it wasn't the end of Rockstar's dark love affair with weaving sadistic serial murderers into their video games, as players of 2018's Red Dead Redemption 2 will testify. Whilst on a relaxing ride through the pines of West Elizabeth, a player might be disturbed to see a large pool of blood near the side of the trail. Then, if the players follow the trail of blood and several limbs, they come across something truly disturbing. Tied to a rock and being pecked at by hungry vultures is a heavily mutilated human torso. The head has been removed, the body chopped in half from the waist down, and right next to the horrifying display of human cruelty are the words, "Do you see?" Upon examining the area more closely, the player can find the victim's severed head lying on a rock nearby. Stuffed into their mouth is a torn-off section of a hand-drawn map with the word, "Me," daubed in blood on the reverse. The following two clues repeat the same grim pattern of discovery. The player happens across a mutilated corpse somewhere, finding another piece of the hand-drawn map stuffed into the victim's bloody mouth. Only, with each new map piece comes a new word, until the completed map displays the question, "Can you find me?" It's a much more obvious attempt at including a serial killer into the game's narrative, and unlike GTA 5's Infinity Killer, there is an accompanying quest to mark the player's achievement. But just because Red Dead 2's serial killer is much more out in the open, it doesn't make the quest's finale any less terrifying. The completed map shows a dilapidated, abandoned shack, with particular emphasis on the building's root cellar. It also provides the player with the numerical code for a combination lock, and when used, this code gives the player access to the cellar itself. Upon entry into the dank, subterranean space, an eerie piece of music begins to play, heightening the tension as the player wanders into the dark. As the player's in-game eyes adjust to the dark, the first thing they're greeted with is a shelf full of human skulls, with sleeping and cooking facilities lying close by. The missing poster for a young woman named Eliza Bloom decorates a wooden support, clearly a trophy of the killer's deranged hunt. In the next room, an old-fashioned tripod camera has been set up, evidently to document what happens to the killer's victims, one of which is still tied to a crude torture device, having been decapitated and disemboweled. On a table nearby is a letter to the killer, addressed from his mother. In it, she calls him Edmund and expresses her concern over his behavior as of late, noting that he seems agitated, febrile, and distracted. Another letter is entitled "Dear Mr. Editor," and is in no doubt some kind of response to the media claim that the killer is brutish and primitive. The author asserts that the killer is intelligent and cunning, and that they are a great and present danger to both the paper's staff as well as those who read it. This is an obvious allusion to some of the more infamous 20th century serial killers who seemed to be obsessed with how they were portrayed in the media, and it marks yet another attempt by Rockstar's developers to draw parallels with their fictional world and the real one it seeks to satirize. Much like their previous offerings, Red Dead 2 gives its player the chance to bring the serial killer to justice, and there does indeed come a certain comfort in knowing that the monster has been slain. RDR2's players' reaction to the inclusion of the serial killer quest were huge, and it's hailed as one of the most engaging, disturbing, and fulfilling missions in the entire game. This means that, in all likelihood, Rockstar will include yet another serial killer mystery in whatever open-world crime fest they offer up next. And this, once again, is where art imitates life. Serial killers, and those that seek to emulate them, aren't something humanity is going to get rid of anytime soon. There will always be new maniacs to catch, more clues to piece together, more bodies to find. All we can do is be ready for them, for the flock is vulnerable, and the wolves are ever circling. Oh, and one more thing. Back in New Hanover, after Arthur Morgan tied up that serial killer and delivered him to the sheriff on the back of his horse, the serial killer announced his name. "My name is Edmund. Edmund Lowry Jr. And you'll remember that, my friend. Edmund Lowry. Eddie Lowe from GTA 4. They're all the same person. All the same monster." The Infinity Killer didn't get his name because of his obsession with numbers. He's named so because his depraved, timeline-defying, murderous rampage will go on forever. This episode of The Dark Side of Gaming was brought to you by The Dark Swamp Entertainment and produced by Swamp Dweller, backed by Audio Boom. The heart-pounding sound design was produced by Joey Sorlis, and the creepy mysteries in this episode were brought together by Sam Writing. These dark tales were voiced and hosted by Derek Weber. Be sure to follow the podcast on iTunes and Spotify to get notified as soon as a new episode comes out. And don't forget to rate it to let us know how we did, and leave a comment on what you would like to hear be covered in a future episode.